All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Everybody, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Once again, our captain, part of the original six, Frazier Smith. Easy for me to say. Frazier, his father passed away. He will be back next week, so stick tap to our captain, Frazier. We wish him and his family well. He'll be back next week. Right now, we're stuck in the muck of preliminary boring Olympic hockey. By the time you hear this, one of the gods of hockey will be back home to where he should be playing in the NHL. I'm sick of it. We bring in a fellow Pittsburgher, a Lemieux generation guy, a guy who never had to play street hockey because there was already rinks being built. The one and only Aaron Kleiber in the house.
Yeah,
buddy. Well, you know, we've gone 50, this is our 16th show, and now after me flying the Penguin flag solo but very heavily, we've come back to square because we had Steve Byrne on the first show.
Oh, Byrne, yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, he's flying
the
Penguin flag.
He'll lead Chicago a little bit, too.
Right, but everyone's allowed to have a – well, you're from home. You're at home, yeah. So you don't have to have a mistress team.
Yeah.
The Kings are my mistress team because I have to root for them every game.
I would go.
Except against
if
the Penguins.
If I lived here, I would go to Kings games because I like watching hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. And so, since we are in the muck – I'm not into it. We talked a little bit before. You're into the Olympic hockey scene. Rough 2 minutes. I gotta get my legs underneath me. We had an extra day off. It's like I needed to skate yesterday.
You need coffee?
Yeah. I needed to skate yesterday. We took the day off. Blausma gave me the day off. Now I can't find my wheels in the first period. But United States, Russia was a great game. Everything else, I believe, has been horrible, except for, I think, the German women's game I watched. Had a little bit of action.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it.
It was good. But now you're on the West Coast for a couple weeks, so you didn't even have your own TiVo, so you're struggling to even see this debacle.
I had to search for a half an hour just to get video clips that NBC holds so tight to their breasts. Holy moly! I couldn't find them anywhere, so I try to keep up and watch highlights, and I kind of like it. I like it a little bit. I like Olympic hockey. I like to see the all-star teams they put together and then, you know, the politically motivated teams they put together. I'm like, what mobsters do these guys know?
The Russians, now that everyone's dropped down, like Ovechkin and Malkin are now the second line because that Radulov is now moved up to the first line. He scored a couple goals. He literally looks like Radulov. He's a KHLer. He's the guy that, if anyone remembers, he's the guy that, like, in the middle of the Nashville Predators' one and only real playoff run, he decided to go bang a few chicks and not show up for a few games. So that's where his royalties loyalties lie.
Yeah, right.
But he literally looks like the evil villain in any movie as a Russian. Like, he is the evil villain.
Like, Steven Seagal is after him at all times.
Yes, yes.
I get it.
He is lighting, what's his name? I know hockey. I don't know movies. He is putting the lighter under Gary Busey's arm as we speak in Sochi. The other thing too is ESPN, of course, A, hates hockey, B, hates NBC. So they're even not even showing. You can't. I was on Google page 2 to find the brackets.
To find
the brackets.
And
the
only person that's talking is Barry Melrose, and they play him off Oscar style. Like, he's like, they're like, oh, we're going to commercial. And he's like, but I just want to, okay, see ya.
Yeah, bye. And then the guy, this guy, I don't even know his name, but he's been in America about 2 weeks on ESPN. He goes, well, hockey, even though, you know, like, it'll always be a niche sport. It's like, listen to a guy who last week was watching polo play with camels. Like, don't tell me about my country. First of all, there's more attendance is higher in NHL arenas than in NBA arenas.
That's true.
And there's 30 teams. So don't tell me it's in this. I despise ESPN at all levels and on every. If I didn't like college basketball, I honestly would never watch ESPN.
I don't watch ESPN.
Good for you.
I don't, because I don't like college basketball.
Well, that's good for
you. I don't watch basketball. And I really, honestly, I'll watch maybe Around the Horn or Pardon the Interruption a little bit, and I get a little taste of what's going on in sports, but that's it. I don't care. Like,
yeah, no,
SportsCenter's a waste of time now.
I TiVo PTI every day, and about once a month, I think, it jumped the shark, I'm going to stop doing it. And if you watch PTI, it's cool. They do talk about hockey. I mean, especially if you're a Penguin fan.
They will talk about hockey.
Because Wilbon likes hockey.
Yeah, they want to.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's always this, it'd be like if you didn't live in Pittsburgh or Chicago or D.C., you would hate it, though.
True.
The only three teams they talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little Rangers, because they have to. But yeah, I'm not impressed with the Big Ice. I'm not impressed with anything. And they stopped a league that was in full motion. I mean, and now especially as a last week we had a Chicago guy in here. We talked about how it affects. I mean, it can only hurt the Penguins. It can't. None of this can help the Penguins. Sid comes back, you know, sour with Kunitz sour. Yeah. Gino comes back sour. Or Blausma comes back sour. Or, you know, Olli Maatta gets hurt. Knock on whatever. I mean, how can this help? The good teams, it doesn't help. It helps the teams where people stayed home or went to Florida for 2 weeks.
The only thing that helps the Penguins is Fleury's getting rest, which is one of the biggest things that he's fallen into the last couple years, is that Fleury has always – we overwork him, and he gets tired by the time, you know, March, April rolls around. And then, you know, he looks a little faded. So that's the only positive.
I disagree with that point on a little bit. I think the Flyers series was just an ultimate shitstorm, just a complete debacle. I blame everybody. I blame the peanut vendors for that debacle. Last year, I think he just didn't have anyone in front of him. And, you know, Boston was a better team. I mean, I don't blame Fleury.
I'm not blaming him.
I didn't say you were blaming him, but
what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, does that really? I mean, he's a young guy, the prime of his career. Is he really tired? You know,
I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. I'm only hypothesizing that.
Why
maybe this break would help?
Right, I'm
just saying. Let's see.
Yes,
because he seems to fizzle around the. Maybe, you know, 3/4 of the way into the season.
Well, the playoffs is when he fizzles.
Yeah.
They always historically go through about a 2-week, 3-week when, you know, you're going to make the playoffs. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Every team goes through. Every good team goes through that.
He looks like he loses the worst between games like 50 and 70. Do you know what I mean? He looks like worn out.
Right.
Like he's not focused. And then, you know, he'll turn it on in the last 10 games when it's down to it.
I will say this about Fleury. When Fleury looks bad, he looks bad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, like, it's not like, oh, he's, you know, he got beat 3-2 and he played a decent game. No, he looks bad. And the one thing he's never really overconquered, he's never conquered the one crap goal a game. He's never really overcome that.
Right.
No matter, even in his Stanley Cup, when he wins a cup years, he's still giving up one. What are you doing?
Yeah.
A leaky one or a softy, you know? So
he's the Malkin of goaltenders.
that's another point I was going to get to. So where's your Malkin stance? Or where are you an apologist or a anti-trade, you know, should have kept Stahl?
No, you know, I think Malkin's great. I think to have a guy like him on our second line is ridiculous. You know, same with Stahl being our third line center when he was here. I mean, that's crazy, you know. And we know if they go anywhere else, just like Stahl has, he's a first line center, you know.
Well, he hasn't done anything.
I know. But
no, he hasn't, though.
But what they've given him, you know. But, you know, Malkin would do the same thing. He'd be the superstar in any other city. And he is in Pittsburgh. I get that. But, you know, he's just – I wonder if he's going to – I'm waiting for him to kind of grow up and not make stupid decisions when he does. Because he's either amazingly brilliant And when he's on fire, he's on fire. You see that, like, the four horsemen in his eyes. You know what I mean? Like, he's going. And he won't be stopped. And but then he's just...
He's
you
a
know,
frustrating man.
He gets
I'm a Malkin jersey wearer, so I'm not a Malkin apologist. Is what I'm not. To me, when Malkin's the best player on the Penguins, that's when we're the best team in hockey. That's when we're in the Stanley Cup Finals. Because when he's at his best, he's better than Sid. Unfortunately, he's only at his best 65 to 70% of the time.
Right,
and Sid. And Jonathan Toews and Getzlaff are way more consistent. I mean, that's why,
right.
When he wins hearts or Conn Smythe, like you think like he's Peter Forsberg, but like slicker. It's like he's an amazing talent.
I agree.
And then,
well, I don't know. Forsberg was much better two way player.
Yeah, but you know when
because Malkin.
I'll tell you what. This year, even in the Olympics, Malkin, he's been back checking. No one back checks and does the takeaway stick. He may throw puck right back.
I think, yeah. He may just leave it there.
Right.
I think that's the Bausma effect on him. Yeah, I really do. I think that's drilling into that.
We'll get into that, too. We're going to hit on the lightning rod since I have a true Penguin guy expert here. It's great. No, that's where I stand on it. I love Gino. I wish he would play smarter. But, you know, the minute that we get rid of him or the minute people are down on him is like, you're never going to replace him.
Oh, agree.
And especially, I mean, you're younger. We'll talk about that a little later. When you came into the post Lemieux era,
yeah,
Penguins. So you only know having superstars. I know when Pittsburgh doesn't have one of the. You know, I mean, heaven forbid. Let's say if Crosby never came back from his head, or Crosby's out for whatever, or whatever happens to Sid. Hopefully, nothing.
Right.
But they need that guy. They need Malkin on that team.
Sure they do.
For the marketing, the everything.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years.
Yeah. They need a dynamic guy. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
They need a guy that's a showstopper. Sid does it every once in a while when he has to.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I'll take his consistency and his skill level any day.
I'll tell you. I will. In the minute you think... sometimes I watch every game and I'm out here, so I get the whole, you know. I mean, one thing about being from here and hearing other broadcasters think like, you know, it can stagger. I mean, Staggerwald has to lay off of Crosby a little bit. You know, it's every, you know, the sun doesn't come up because Crosby tells it does.
I know.
I actually think he gets a bad rap from around the country because I think some of his because people watch the Penguin games and think, oh my God. Like that's how they treat Crosby, like in Pittsburgh. Like it's beyond ridiculous.
Yeah.
But no, when you hear other, geez, what was my point? I listen to Lang. I wait for the delay, and now my TiVo.
Yeah.
I still listen to Lang. What was my delay? Was you think Sid's having a little. And then you look at Toews, and you compare him to Getzlaff, and you start watching Crosby closer, and you realize now Crosby really is the best.
Oh, you watch him?
You know, I mean, seriously, like, I would come in here, like, you know, be nice to everyone, like this and that, and think, yeah, I like Toews is great. I love
Toews. Sure, yeah.
But then you watch Crosby, you're like, Crosby.
Every shift.
It's just every
just shift.
Every shift.
If you ever have played hockey, okay, if anybody that has never played hockey, they're like, oh, Crosby's overrated. I'm like, okay. If you've ever played, watch, you know when they have the camera on one player?
Yeah.
You know when they do that and they'll follow? Just watch him. Watch everything he does. He's always where he needs to be. He's always watching the play. He's always in space.
Right. He's like
always.
He's Ronnie Francis with more talent.
Yes.
Like because
Ronnie Francis. Yeah.
Ronnie's my favorite player because he still hasn't passed Sid up in a
he
way.
He is one of my favorites.
He still hasn't passed Sid up in the way that he's. He'll never be like Captain Ron was my sweater. Has always been my sweater. Like
yeah.
That's the one that people when I go out of town games.
I have a friend. I love you. Captain Ron.
Yeah, people are like people cheer me if I'm like in Denver
yeah,
where people are like Captain Ron, Hall of Fame. He's Ron Francis. So, but to me, it's like that's the way I judge people on do they make the Ron Francis play like the best play with the puck at every
right.
time. And Crosby usually you know he's slacking on, but he's allowed to. He has that much talent. But so here's the other. The other big, I think, talking point or big debate in Pittsburgh, if you will, as much as I am a Geno fan, I would have traded Christopher Letang for a warm six pack. Where do you stand on that? Especially with Olimata playing as good as he has.
Letang is, exactly what Malkin is. If someone's going to be a Malkin lover, then shut your mouth about Letang. because he's the exact same player, only a defenseman.
But that's the problem.
Then trade Malkin then. Then why? What? It's the same exact player.
But for seven, is, but for seven, is, but that's why. If I have Malkin, why do I need a defenseman that's going to come up and make bad plays? Like $7 million, I can pay for 7 point whatever you're going to pay him. I think almost eight. You can get two guys that will actually play defense.
No matter what, you know.
See, I think he's the most exciting defenseman in hockey because there's always a 2-on-1 coming back the other way.
Right. He always gets back. He always gets back.
But he's not as much this year, though.
Okay.
Not as much. I mean,
you probably have seen more games than I have.
He's had a bad year, and I just think when I look at what the Penguins need and what they could give up.
Yeah.
I think Letang gets you a winger for Crosby. Now that Duper's hurt, the Duper's not coming back.
Okay. But do we really, like, everyone keeps saying, we need a winger. Do we really need more wingers?
We need a couple.
Guys, they're performing. They're doing well. We got third, fourth liner scoring goals.
Okay, well.
I don't know why, ever since Crosby's been around, I'm like, we need a winger for Crosby.
No, here's.
I don't get it.
I don't think we need one for him, per se, if we're going to get three guys that can actually forecheck on the third and fourth lines.
Do you think,
if we're going to be a two-line team, then we better get Vanek or Molson to play with Cross. If we're going to be a three or four line team, then we need guys that are bigger than, you know, I mean, I like.
Oh, the, I agree like with the, that.
You know, because what happens is.
It'd be nice to see a bigger guy with Crosby.
It would be nice to see a bigger guy. I would look to package Sutter too. I think Sutter plays weak for a third line center. I think he scores some nice goals every now and then, but normally he's knocked off the puck and doesn't forecheck.
Yeah, yeah, he's not as tough as a third line center needs to be. That's
and
for sure.
That is where we need three guys better than three guys that we have right now. Our top two lines, I'll take with the rockin' looking the little kid playing with the new guy.
Oh,
Gibbons.
Gibbons. I love him.
I'll take him playing with Sid. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
If you go out and get me three guys that are 6'3", 225, that are going to forecheck the Boston Bruins in a game five when it's one, when we're up 2-1, that you can dump the puck in and
Billy Guerin
wear them down. Well, he played with Sid, but
he
no.
was, but I'm saying he was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing that role.
Exactly. A Jarkko Ruutu.
I agree. Somebody that can get in the corner so Sid doesn't have to all the time.
You know, I mean, in 1 year we lost like Rupp.
Yeah.
Rupp was the one man forecheck.
I loved him.
Loved him. I would give anything to.
I love Ruutu also.
Yeah, Ruutu really was great. He, remember that Thanksgiving game when he turned the whole season around? He scored on the penalty shot.
Oh, yeah.
The
shot,
on the shootout.
Oh, his hands were nasty.
Oh, yeah.
So nice.
Love. But, you know, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, I mean, if you put Chris Neal on the Penguins, I think we're so much a better team. Hmm. We need one third line guy.
I just think that
changes the momentum, that puts fear in the people, that's just a little nasty. The Penguins don't have that. And not even that Rupp was Mr. Nasty, but he would run you over. And
yeah.
We don't have that. And my other thing, and that's what I think Letang would bring back. And I think when Letang doesn't play, we're like 20-10 anyway. Like, you know, we don't need Letang to win. To win this year, we need two or three guys that Letang could bring.
Yeah, but do you think, you know, have you ever listened to Mark Madden in Pittsburgh?
Yes. He actually quoted me a couple times, even though now he ignores stalkerness.
Half the time I hate him, half the time I love him.
He's right
he's
about
my
almost everything.
Of broadcasters,
yeah. I can he's the only one in Pittsburgh that I actually like. Besides Stan, he's like the only guy that I actually think knows what they're talking about.
I agree, but Ron Cook
hates hockey.
Oh yeah, he made a really good point about Letang, and he said if we trade Letang for anybody, we won't come out on top. A trade that'll really happen, and I completely agree with him, a trade that'll actually get done, and not a hypothetical trade, like, oh, what if we get Jonathan Toews? No. I'm talking a real trade that's going to happen. He said, we are not going to win that trade. And I agree with him. I don't think we're going to get – no one's going to give us somebody big that we need. I just don't think – we're not going to get a big player.
Yeah, but you're probably right.
Well, Mark Madden said that.
No.
I agree with
him. I know, but
we're not going to come out on top. We're going to lose that trade.
But in the context of, like, you know, like, look at the. I mean, I don't think the Kings need Letang, but look if like we would get, like, look at who they called up, Dwight King, and Nolan's kid, and they won the Cup 2 years ago.
Yeah,
right. Just big winger guys with some decent hands. If we traded Letang for those two guys and a draft pick, you know how much better the Penguins would be for in the playoffs.
Yeah.
To have those two guys flanking Sutter.
Yeah.
Than they are now. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying we have to go get, you know, we have to get Muzzin and, you know, Kopitar for.
Right.
I'm just talking about some guys that just don't get pushed off the puck all. Because that's
sure.
We were winning.
We do need some grind.
When we were in Stanley Cup finals, we were wearing people down.
Yeah.
You have to do that when you're up to. People blame, oh, Fleury can't keep a lead, or look, it's always because Crosby and Malkin are up ice. It's because no one's putting the puck in the corner and making anybody pay a price.
Right. And I think too, like, I'll go with you on this one about having offensive defensemen. I think when you have a high power offense, having a very offensive defense is counterproductive, because, you know, then you got a lot of guys looking at an offensive puck. You know what I mean?
You're preaching to the choir.
I mean, what do I know? I sat back in the net for 16 years and watched it. That's all. I played on a college team. It's a really small Christian college named Geneva College. It was the NAIA.
Oh, my friend of mine, Steve Copey, went there.
Yeah, NAIA. But
and you may be the highest ranking player so far yet to grace our presence. Yeah, well, no, I'm saying,
but I saw
people
it for
email
years.
Me and one in.
Yeah.
And we've had some high intense celebrity game participants, but no.
I saw a lot of guys that were all just looking at the puck as an offensive puck. And, you know, sure, we'll score six goals, but we'll lose 8-6 because I averaged 51 shots a game. Because it was all, you got four guys digging under the blue, and it's bye. Then it's, oh, 3-on-1, 2-on-1.
You were left out to dry.
Oh, I was so good at breakaways in 4 years. Oh, my God.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. That's, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to go, just one more thing. I think here's the dirty secret no one wants to talk about. But Madden now just finally said it, because Madden has been beating the drum forever on this all year, is Orpik is not the same player. And he's slower, and that's going to cost us. And I really think Dupree and Bortuzzo should play for the Penguins, and that means not Orpik, and I don't know who else
I don't disagree with anything you're saying there.
No, I mean, that's just,
I do think
they'll never do that. But
I feel like he's lost the, like, I don't know what it is, that like punch in him.
Yeah,
he doesn't
just
have
not,
that this year.
He's just not. Yeah, he's just not getting to the puck.
Like, he had a couple drinks before each game. Do you know what I mean? Like, just a little bit, like a tenth of a second slower.
He's just slower. He's just, and I mean, Bortuzzo has played amazing this year.
Yeah.
And Dupree's been up and down, but you know what? He glides when he skates. He's 6'4". He's not afraid to put his face in there.
No, he moves well,
you know,
for a big guy.
So many teams in the NHL are afraid to play younger guys. But then you watch the Cup teams and, like, Brendan Saad, Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah.
They won the Cup with his young legs.
Yeah.
Young legs.
It seems like, though, Bausma's not afraid to use young guys. They throw them up there. I mean, look at Gibbons and Mata.
Well, now they do. I mean, when they have to.
Yeah,
but
right.
Guarantee that he will. I mean, he's not taking Orpik out. No, he used him in the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I pick Russia, because I thought Orpik's would be exposed.
I don't know, man. I think Bausma's coaching style looks really good in the Olympics.
Well, I think it is good for the Olympics.
I mean, compared to a lot of the teams that are going to be the top four, USA looks like a bunch of nobodies. Think about it. I mean, like, what do they got? Rick Nash? What is? Or no, he's on Canada.
I think the American team is actually put together as a better team than the Canadians.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Bausma, I see the way he builds teams.
I think Bausma is a great coach. I don't like some of his roster decisions, but I think
moves and stuff. I understand.
I would just always play. I like England on the fourth line forever. I like if you're not going to get anyone he's the only one the four checks in the corner.
Yeah,
because he saw them do it when he was a rookie.
Yeah,
like, he knows what it looks like.
Sure, yeah,
yeah, and I would play Bortuzzo, and I would play Dupree, and I would, I you know, I'd make Orr pick a scratch every now and then, make him hungrier. I don't know. And if you lose, like, you know, he's just slow.
I don't disagree with you there, Coach.
He's just slow. Now let's let's talk about the history, your personal history of hockey. So you're younger than me, so you don't remember when they wore blue and sucked for Infinity. Uh-uh. When did you start watching hockey? Or
I had a stepbrother that played, and I remember jumping into goal, and I actually had to play opposite. So like, I used the catching glove on my left hand because that's how I played baseball, but it was like supposed to be opposite for me because I shot righty.
Okay.
So I actually can shoot lefty with a goalie stick and righty with a regular stick. That's how I play.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird when I play out. Yeah. But anyway, I played that for a while when I was a kid. I played, and I grew up being able to play hockey. And then through some life circumstances, I wasn't able to play for a while. And then I moved to a pretty poor, like a lower class neighborhood. And I wanted to play hockey again. It was just like a marriage situation. Okay. And I'm not going to get into this. I'll do it on the Deep Depression Comedy Podcast.
Yeah, this is the this isn't up close and personal. Yeah,
I played deck hockey for a year or two in middle school.
Okay.
And really wanted to get back on the ice, and I really shoveled snow and cut grass to buy my own pads again, to buy ice hockey pads. And when I was in eighth grade and I started playing hockey again on the ice, I paid $800 for my own pair of ice hockey pads, my own goalie pads.
Right on.
And I just started playing. And I fell off a little bit in high school because I started doing drama and, you know, acting and filmmaking and all that crap like that. And I actually didn't play my freshman year of college. I went to Point Park for acting.
I graduated from Point Park.
Boom. Well, I went for a year, and I was like, this is really...
Don't tell me you failed out of Point Park, because
I left. No, I left. I left.
Believe me, that's the lowest level of... it's high school with cigarettes.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Yeah, I know. and you know, the acting and film program there was really boring, and so I transferred to Geneva College, and I tried out for their ice hockey team. And I was, I started going to college to work with kids, like adolescent counseling and stuff, and youth ministry. I was a backup for like 2 years, and then I played my junior and senior year, and I tore my ACL my senior year in the second game.
Oh.
Partially torn, and I did a pro rehab.
And you still played?
Yeah. Well, I did a pro rehab, which was just muscle training and stuff like that. And I was able to, I did it in September, and I was able to come back in December.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that really is. Yeah.
And then, you know, after college.
Chelios played with two torn ACLs in the 92 Stanley Cup.
Oof.
And then he had the bobsledder last night. Me and my kid were watching the bobsledding.
Yeah.
Guy had a strained calf that made it like he was walking on one leg. And he's like, he's a bobsledder. Like, you're riding in the sledge, you pussy.
That doesn't make any sense.
His strained calf. They made it like that's why he came in second.
Well, when I tore it, when I heard my knee pop, I played the rest of the game, but it hurt. Because it was a weird thing, too, because I had my defenseman, I was in the butterfly, and a defenseman fell on the back of my legs. And then my other defenseman pushed a guy into me, so my body like flew back into the net, but my legs didn't move because there was a guy that was 6'4 laying on him. It didn't feel good.
Well, did you transcribe the theory that the goalies are your best skaters?
No.
We had a laugh about that one night.
I'm a terrible skater.
One day here, we're like, this doesn't make sense.
I'm a terrible skater.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, too, and I was just like, I suck.
We broke this myth right here now.
I've played lots of goalie. That's all I've ever played. And when I play out, I know where to be.
Right.
And if I get the puck, I know what to do with it. But I'm going to be the last one in the play.
Did you ever have a goalie brawl? Were you ever in a brawl as a goalie?
Yeah, a couple times. Once in deck hockey. Never in ice. Never on the ice. Street hockey.
Yeah.
Actually, this is like a legendary story where I came from.
Okay, yeah.
Where my high school is. Like, you know, it was like...
What high school did you go to?
Steel Valley.
Okay.
Tennis court hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, there's still guys that show up at the bar, with the local bar. You'd be like, Kleiber, dude, remember when you beat up Andy? And he knows who he is. I talked to him still today. And he like two-handed me on the back of my neck. and I beat the shit out of him. First with my blocker, then threw my shit off, beat the shit out of him, and was slamming his head against the ground. I was so mad because he was messing with me for no reason. And I still, to this day, like, my hockey buddies be like, dude, you remember Beautiful Andy? That was nuts. So that's about it. You know,
That's funny.
No, I normally... No,
I know, but you're forced though.
I was always
into it though. If you're playing ice,
I mean, in college too, you can't mess around like that. You know, you can't skate around and get in a fight as a goalie. I was always a comedian. Like I was always a goofball, and I loved like during like face-offs or something, I would just start singing Madonna songs, and like people were like, what the fuck is wrong with your goalie? Yeah. I just thought it was funny to like say shit to him, or like a guy would back into me, and I'd be like, I want to get up in there. Like, you know, just I always was an idiot like that.
That's so funny though.
I never took it super seriously.
Who's your favorite goaltender of all time?
Patrick Waugh.
I think that's everybody's, right?
It should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had this debate too. I was last weekend. I was with my friend Harlan Williams. And you guys know him from whatever.
Yeah, from everything. We're trying to get him on here.
You should.
I'll
tell him about it.
Yeah, tell him to come down. Yeah, well, we've literally tried to get him a couple times.
We had the Lemieux-Goretzky debate, and then we had the goaltending thing, and he was just kind of, we were throwing stuff out there. And, you know, people will, you know, throw around some of the older guys, and I think that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, it was different styles, different style league. So you got to put in, you know, modern goaltenders. You know, if people throw in Dominic Hasek, Ken Dryden, you know, Martin Brodeur. Thing is, Brodeur has those numbers, and honestly, us talking about this, people know. People know what I'm going to say, is that he grew up in the devil's system. I mean, let's be honest. This is the one stat that I say about Patrick Waugh of why he's the best goaltender of all time. 4 Stanley Cups, 3 of them, he was the MVP. End of story.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I think if you watched people play, then you pick Patrick Waugh.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I remember, I think they lost 2-1 against the Quebec Nordiques in like 85, 84 in a playoff mm-hmm. series. And he stopped 70 of 71. They lost 1-0 in overtime. And they tried to burn his house down in Montreal.
Oh my gosh.
Because, I mean,
that's insane.
Yeah, but that's how, I mean, the fact he stopped 70.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the best goaltender. I mean, and that's the thing. Those Canadian teams were not loaded, and he took them to cups.
No. Well, I mean, his,
they were good teams. I mean, they weren't loaded.
Their 93 team was pretty impressive.
Oh, well, we can talk about 93 because to me,
Desjardins, Bellows. They had
Leclerc.
Leclerc and his freaking young.
Lemieux.
Yeah, Claude Lemieux. Richer.
Yeah, Richer. Yeah. But, you know, that was the Penguins' best team ever. And that's still my worst loss in any sporting event any.
Islanders.
You're old enough to remember that one.
I do a little bit.
Okay, yeah, because that was the...
I've studied enough.
I've never even enjoyed sports as much because of that loss. Oof. Like, it took me... Like, I'll never put that much into anything. Yeah. Because of how hard that loss was.
Yeah.
And I personally blame Tom Barrasso.
I don't remember it that well enough.
Well, Volek comes down after we just tied it up. Captain Ron had 2 right in the third period. And you just knew. As soon as we tied it, I'm like, come on, Barrasso. Like, it was almost like the bad karma, like, Barrasso, don't. And it was just a shitty.
Was he as hit or miss as I remember? I mean, I've watched tapes and stuff and.
He was a good goaltender.
Was he the Terry Bradshaw of hockey?
In what way?
In way that he was good enough and dynamic at times, but really wasn't as good as everyone thinks he was.
No, I think Bradshaw was a better.
I just had someone throw a trash can on my lawn.
I think Bradshaw was better at quarterbacking than Barrasso. I would have to say.
Okay.
Barrasso just played in it. He was kind of a white Grant Fuhr. Whereas Grant Fuhr, you know, they always say Grant stopped the big ones. He stopped the big ones.
He did. He absolutely did.
Hockey was different back then. Hockey was like, he wouldn't, I don't know, like Fleury would have been a monster back in those days because you're allowed to give up 3 or 4. Just make the big 2 at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of my theories is how hockey has been ruined by Gretzky is because before Gretzky moved here, L.A., all the Sun Belt teams didn't exist.
Sure.
So that means, and it would always be a joke, you look in the playoffs or the NHL standings, it'd be 21 teams, 16 made the playoffs, and the Penguins wouldn't be in the dark black.
Right, yeah.
Even though you were too young to remember this, but
no, yeah.
But you know what that meant, though? What that meant that was if 12 of those teams knew they're making it no matter what, right?
Sure.
So inherently, that means in February, you're going to play a 7-6 classic in the Spectrum because you know you're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If only half the teams make the playoffs and there's 3-point games, that means in November 10th, they're playing a trap. It's 1-1 in the second. Well, we better play the trap and hold on and get that extra point.
Yep.
It makes the league so much less fun.
Yeah.
That's my big theory on why I think Gretzky ruined hockey.
Well, he should.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying.
I can go on and on about Gretzky.
No, but that's my, you know. So who are you afraid of this year? As the Penguins move forward,
I still think Boston is pretty. Man, they're a good package. I really do.
That's probably the only good thing that come out of the Olympics is Rask is looking a little worn out.
Yeah,
Rask hasn't looked as good as I thought he would.
You know, not as much as last year. That there was a lot of teams that were really hunting. But I'm not afraid of many teams this year, to be honest. I mean, and I don't know if it's just Boston because of this last year, or I just.
Well, I mean, I think
I don't think the competition is as deep this year. I really don't.
Well, my big fear is that. My big fear is always the Flyers because I just hate them.
I think they're
going to
shit the bed.
No, but the thing is what's going to change a lot is if Dan Girardi. I'm going to write my article this week on it. If Dan Girardi from the Rangers does not sign, they're going to trade him. If he goes to Boston to fill in for Seidenberg, that's huge. So right now they're missing Seidenberg for the season. That's a huge loss for them. If they go to Philly, if he goes to Philly, that immediately puts Philly as a team that just with their bullshit is going to scare us. Because the problem with Philly is you always get up 2-0 and then they start slashing people and make it a special teams game.
Right, yeah.
They're a good special teams team.
Sure.
Because they got good penalty killers and they have a good power play. They're a terrible 5-on-5 team.
True.
For almost all their history, except for the Legion of Doom.
It seems like that, I don't know. I don't know what it is with that organization. It's like they never, like they're okay with this brand of hockey, Flyers.
Well, that's what they've wanted forever.
They're okay with it. And I just...
it's Neanderthal bullshit hockey.
So I understand what you're saying there. So it is kind of a toss-up. You don't know what Flyers you're going to get. You don't know if they're going to come and
and
act like goons.
But without Girardi, I don't fear them. Their defense is slow and big.
Sure.
But if they get Girardi, I would fear them. But if Girardi stays with the Rangers, I think the Rangers are a completely credible threat to get hot. They have a lot of firepower on that team.
I like the Rangers a lot.
They're a good team if they live up to their. I'm just sucking who you. I mean, to me, it's going to be us or Boston.
Sure, I think so.
And again, I'm glad again it looks old.
Yeah, that's yeah. Go ahead, have them. You can have them.
Yeah, what was your take on that? I don't want to talk about him because he was classy when he was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, he was a good dude.
But he looked a step slow at every set. He looks slow.
I thought that I was excited. See, I always look at people talk about, you know, players being slow or, you know, not being tough enough and stuff when you get to pick up a guy like that, you know. But I always look at it as like this guy, okay, sure. He's not one-on-one in with Ovechkin, okay? But when that guy gets the puck, he's going to put it exactly where he wants it. And that's what I like about some of those veterans.
But he didn't.
He didn't get a lot of playing time. First,
he
of
did
all.
Against Ottawa though. He didn't do it against. He was a step against. I think that week. There's no excuses when Malkin and Crosby don't score. There's no excuses. I'm not blaming. You know the guys that came to the deadline, but that whole team lost their mojo with that week off.
Sure,
they were all a step slow. That even the Crosby line, which was so in sync. Duper knows they were not in sync.
Sure,
they were all off by a step that whole series. And to me, Ginless still looks like he's off by a step. I would have been happy, honestly, with just Doug Murray. I honestly would have just been happy with Doug because that's what I thought we needed. I didn't think we needed anything else up front. I really didn't last year.
Yeah, I didn't think someone like him. I wasn't. I was like, why? Like, unless he's really still killing it, like, I mean, you look at
and
it now.
And then not play him with Crosby.
Yeah, see, that's
thanks
the thing. For reminding me of that. That's what I was griping
Blender
about.
For Aaron.
Yeah, I no, really, that's what I was griping. I'm like, why? What's the sense then? Because I was kind of excited that you would have, you know, Crosby on the ice. People are following Crosby, you know, and then it's like, hi, I'm over here, you know, Aginla, and if you give it to me, I'm top shelfing it every time. You know, that seemed like that was a good mix. And then you have, like, Duper, you know, grinding for you a little bit, moving the puck around the boards. But that didn't happen. And
yeah,
I was annoyed by that.
Then it would have put Kunitz back with back with Gino.
Yeah.
And that line, and that was the best line
sure,
in hockey
fine.
When that was together.
Fine.
You know, that's like, that is the best line
you
in
know,
hockey.
You know, when we got again.
That really is. That's the best.
Oh, it was good.
If you put Kunitz with Neil and Malkin, that is the best line in hockey.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was the year they played together.
Yeah. I wanted Jágr.
I do, too. I still
want Jágr.
You talk about that. I'm so happy you brought that up.
I want Jágr. I still want Jágr.
I'm glad you stand with me.
Dude,
it is a disgrace that there is not a...
That they boo him?
Yes. That his number isn't even retired.
I went to the Boston game. Who's he play for now? What game did I go to?
He plays for the Devils now.
Oh, I went to the Devils game. Sorry. I went to the Devils game, and every time he touched the puck, he booed. And my buddy and I yelled out stats, Jágr stats, every time someone booed. And I'm like, he is the best European player ever.
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 He's the
plain and simple.
Excluding
Russia, that's not Europe,
he's
everyone.
He's better than any Russian player ever. He's put himself in the top.
I'll tell you what.
He's a pubic hair below the Gretzky, Lemieux, Bobby Orr line of great. He's in the top like 8 players of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you want to talk modern era, I know some old school guys would be like, "Oh, I'll tell you what. I can't disagree that he wasn't in the top 15.
Well, I mean,
but I know his numbers, and I would say,
think if he went through 2 strikes in 3 years in the KHL, well, he would be near Gretzky.
Oh yeah,
he really would be.
I don't disagree with you there.
I'd like to see
when you say, you know, he's better than any Russian.
I love Fedorov too. I love Fedorov.
Yeah, Fedorov is very consistent.
I love Fedorov, but so was Jágr. You have to be the scorer when he goes.
I mean, that's who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Fedorov. I'm thinking of Bure.
The only European
McGillney was one of my favorite players of all time.
The only European player who I think you could put is as good as Jágr, but it's apples oranges, is Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lidstrom's top 5 defenseman of all time.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. The most consistent defenseman
20
ever.
Years of excellence.
Unbelievable. I would like to see where Malkin and Ovechkin's career goes and if they're going to be up there with that, you know.
I love Malkin. And I actually like Ovechkin, but I don't think Malkin will ever reach Jágr. Jágr won a gold medal with the Czech Republic.
Dude, I'm not backing off my Jágr fandom. No, I love Jágr. But you just like boiled my brain a little bit where I was like, ooh, better than a Russian. And now it's like something new I thought about.
Yeah, no.
Because I've always said best European player. And then when you said Russian, I was like, ooh, that's a good one. That got my brain thinking.
Yeah, but if you don't know, I mean, if you're listening, you probably know by now because I've preached it so long. But yeah, people in Pittsburgh, a lot of them are butthurt because only because it was the Flyers. That's really the only reason.
I guess on a personal level, it's like, Jágr, really, dude? Like, do you really need, like, what is it, $700,000? Like, come on, man. He must owe a lot of Russian bookies.
But it was the Flyers. But my thing is just, it's just a generation, the Sid generation, if you will. I'm not trying to knock people, but I mean, it must be just they weren't alive. Because it's just ignorance to not know that. I mean, and I point to 2 things. three things, actually. One was the goal he scored against Chicago Blackhawks in game one.
As a rookie.
It was the second year.
Yeah, it was the second year, that's
second
right.
Second year. Lemieux said was the greatest goal we ever saw. Lemieux said that.
So, wow.
Then when he beat New Jersey, whenever, if we didn't advance around in the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs, we might have been bankrupt and the team would be in Kansas City. Yep. He played on a half a groin and beat Martin Brodeur with a minute left and then in overtime.
Yeah.
Those are my two reasonings.
Yeah.
The last reasoning would be everyone in Pittsburgh loves to say how we had the best player in hockey for 30 years in a row. Well, you know why that? You know why? Because Jágr was there for 10
Jágr is one of them.
Yeah,
I said that too.
So I mean,
yeah,
you know, to boo we Jágr is a disgrace.
People
a
booing Jágr, and I'm going, look at the banners. Look at the. There's three names, four names on that banner.
Yeah,
you know, one of them's Jágr. Like you're crazy.
The only thing that
you still watch him now as an old man.
Oh, I still watch.
He's 40. Watch him touch that puck. He's still a strong skater.
I stayed an extra day in Toronto just to see Jágr play live one more time. No,
he's a beast.
I TiVo'd this morning. I mean, my daughter was like, we're watching Jágr this morning, right? Yeah.
What? He's a
yeah,
beast.
Yeah. He's the man. This is the truth. We used to have Jágr. This chick who used to be in love with me, she bought me two Jágr dolls. One was a penguin doll and one was the Czechoslovakian doll.
I love it.
So I used to put Jágr on top of my Christmas tree as like baby Jesus for like until he became a flyer.
Yeah,
but then I did because it wasn't in the. But then I didn't throw him away,
yeah.
Which I should have because he became a flyer.
Yeah.
I put him in my closet, and that's what I literally thought that was the jinx of why we lost that playoff series. Was I just had to wash my hands of Jágr once he became a flyer?
That's funny. Do you want to hear some good Jágr stories?
I had tons of them.
I got some childhood Jágr stories.
Oh, go ahead.
This is personal.
Yes, personal.
This is personal.
So
let's
get personal.
I grew up in the projects, okay, in the Steel Valley.
Okay,
and if you go over the hill, there was like a nice neighborhood. Well, he stayed with the family in that neighborhood. And this was this had been 91. Let me see, 92, 93, something like that. Stayed with this family, and the closest basketball court was in the projects. He would come over and play basketball with all his kids. Twice I played basketball with him. And I was like, why doesn't he ever come over when we're playing street hockey here? It was always he wanted to come over and play basketball all the time. So then I found out where he lived, right?
Right.
So I was selling candy for hockey one time in middle school, and I went to his door. And his host lady or whatever, he's staying with, answers the door, and she goes, yeah, hold on a second. And then he comes to the door in his freaking string. He always, even when he played basketball, his string tank top.
Yeah.
And these like ripped gym shorts and these high white socks and his mullet. And he's like talking barely English. And he's like, how much, you know, and whatever. And he just I was like, I want all of them. He bought my whole box of Reese cups, gave me like $120. And we were like, we were like the little kids like that get our stones back in Temple of Doom.
Yeah,
we were like, oh my God, Jágr just bought all our candy. Like, it was so that's my Jágr childhood stories.
That's a great story.
Played basketball with him twice and he bought my whole box of candy.
Could he dunk?
No.
He's pretty tall.
But he was fast. I remember him being really fast. Oh. And you know what else I remember? How muscular he was.
Oh yeah. Well, they said he used to do like he used to train like Ivan Drago. Like he used to do like 1,000 squats in the snow.
I was like 12, and I'd be like, his legs are so big, like he was so like he looked like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, I'm telling
you, he was a beast.
Absolutely, that's a great Jágr story.
Let's talk more about Jágr's body.
Jágr,
he's a beast. He's still a beast. You saw those shirtless photos with his girlfriend in the middle of Siberia.
Well, a friend of mine, I do some work for the NHLPA, and a friend of mine up there sent me some video. It made me sick because it was shot by Claude Giroux, but it was from last year. Whenever they showed like the Flyers working out, because they knew I love Jágr.
Yeah,
and he comes up to the like Hartnell's working out, and he's like, "You see this Hartnell? This is steel." The 42-year-old man. I'm flexing. If you're listening, and I'm like, "This is steel."
Jágr
is
doing
steel Hartnell. Yeah, this is
amazing.
Steel. Oh yeah,
that's like Arnold in Pumping Iron. And do you remember watching that movie? It's a documentary when Arnold was Mr. Universe. He would make fun of Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Like Lou, what are you doing over there?
That's a good Ferrigno.
No, what? That's Arnold.
Oh geez.
No, yeah, he'd make fun of Lou Ferrigno. This guy.
Lou Ferrigno is just like this.
See, that's a good Ferrigno.
This is Ferrigno. He would say his name Ferrigno.
He was a dumb horse in that movie.
Oh, well, I know.
Anywho.
Yeah. He's still pretty dumb from what I hear.
Well, you know.
He's making a lot of money. He gives 110%.
Yeah, for sure.
Did our esteemed producer catch that one, Anthony? Yeah. Well, I opened for Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
So she was on that Celebrity Apprentice with Lou Ferrigno.
I loved it.
So I had to watch.
Loved Lisa on there.
You didn't even have a horse in that race? You watched that show?
I loved Lisa in that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'd rather watch Olympic hockey than.
I liked
that
it a
show
bit.
Was awful. I was like, and Lisa kept winning, so I had to keep watching it. It was the worst. I was hoping she'd get
Well, no, I watched it when there was people that I like in, like, you know, like comedians and stuff like that. I watched it, you know, and it was cool when Tom Green was on and stuff. And
yeah, was he
He was
on
misunderstood,
there?
Yes.
Really?
I'll go to bat for him. He was. He was eliminated in like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. Oh God.
He was silly, but he was really smart.
Oh, he is smart.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
He pioneered web entertainment.
So when did you start? So you work with the we talk about legends a lot in comedy, and there really isn't there really isn't that many people throw the word legend around in comedy. Like it's like they throw around like the way Pierre Maguire throws around. That's a great play, right? But you work with an absolute legend in Pittsburgh, right? You work with Jimmy Crenn. That's how
I have worked with him a bunch.
Oh, I thought you're on his pod. You're not on the podcast.
No,
I'm
not.
I'm sorry. I thought that was a. Oh,
no. No, but he's a great guy in Pittsburgh, and he kind of put me under his wing and, you know, brought me on the radio and got me lots of exposure and put me on some cool shows.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's a great.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. You're doing awesome, and you're a great dude. I literally thought, because his podcast is on this network.
I know.
Joe Network.
That's I've done his show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I thought.
Yeah.
That's how we got lucky enough to get you. That was cool.
Yeah. Well, I also, you know, met your guys from Sideshow, and I was at the Cabo Comedy Festival, and I tour all over the country with a bunch of different headliners. And
sweet.
That work for your pop upstairs and stuff like that. So.
Right on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give Jimmy Crenn a shout out.
Yeah, of course. He's amazing. He's like my wise uncle. He's great.
Yeah,
he's always been good to me.
I mean, he's like when I started. That's why I moved to San Francisco to do comedy because I grew up in Pittsburgh. Dennis Miller grew up like two trolley stops away from me. My mom knew his mom.
Yeah,
but other than that, it's like that's it.
Yeah,
it was Dennis Miller did comedy and then Jimmy Crenn.
Sure, yeah.
You would go to a coffee shop. What are you, queer?
Yeah. Like,
but you're a little younger than me, so I don't know. Then there became a comedy scene, almost probably because of Jimmy Crenn. Probably like it was a comedy scene because of him. But
and now Pittsburgh's banging. I mean, it's a really good comedy scene.
Yeah, definitely,
right now.
Definitely. Because I became friends with Bill Crawford. And
Crawford's great.
Yeah.
He's another guy. He's one of the guys that was in, you know, about 5 years longer than me. And when I went into the Pittsburgh Improv, and he really was good to me. And
yeah, he's a good
got
dude.
Got me in there. Yeah.
He's a good dude. Jimmy Crenn, this isn't talking out of school, when I worked at Fantasies, he used to come in all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I know that in my head. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that was we became really good friends because he was also a Diamond David Lee Roth man. and that was right in the era of Hagar ruining an American institution.
Yeah. That's weird. My mom's a Hagar fan,
be like,
so.
He'd always be like, you're going to come down to the radio station and say that. You know, it'd always be like 3 in the morning and we're all blasted. It's like, I'll make it down there. And we, of course, we would never get past security if we ever tried, but we never did make it down there.
<That's>
you gotta get on the radio and say all this. But he was a good dude.
Yeah.
Oh, we got some more time to talk hockey.
Okay.
Sweet. You're like, oh, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So how long have you been doing comedy, though?
I've been doing comedy. I mean, I always, there's always like a, like an asterisk, because I will say
you were tending goal in the Latvian elite league.
Yeah, right. I wish. I'll take it.
Super pro.
I always say, like, I've been doing stand up 5 years.
Okay,
but I've been doing comedy since high school. Yeah, comedy videos, and I was
as a stand up. You know, we don't count.
I know.
We don't count anything but stand up. So
I know, but I do say that. You know, when people say, oh, 5 years, you've done, you know, whatever, you need more time and blah, blah, blah. I've moved along pretty well in 5 years.
Yeah, as long as you're writing at any time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm I've done a bunch of good things. I've done some TV and, you know, I tour with some big guys, Bob Saget and Bert Kreischer. And, you know, I work with a bunch of great comics. And it's because, like, I have this whole background in comedy. And, you know, I did sketch and improv for years. I worked at these kids' camps for 7 years. And I basically every weekend was in charge of doing Saturday Night Live for 400 kids. You know, it was like sketches and improv. And
so you have a stage with a stage presence.
Then I went to Second City in 2007, 2008.
Oh, wow.
In Chicago. Came back to Pittsburgh in 2008. And I said to my wife, okay, well, you let me make all these movies and go to Chicago. And let's like, what do you want? You know, and she's like, I want a house and a baby. And I was like, well, so do I. Then if you do, like, this is great. So I was kind of
then you quit stand up.
No, I never did. I wasn't even doing stand-up.
I'm just kidding.
I wasn't even doing stand-up.
That's not the path to, like, oh.
Right, I know. But that's kind of why, like, I couldn't, you know, I wanted to do something that was different. I wanted to try something new. I had a Pittsburgh friend, Frank Nicotero.
Yes, you know, I know Frank. Guy? Yeah, yeah.
Very funny comic. And he was home. And he saw me do some, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway shows on, like, riverboats. You know, and he's like, you're really funny. And I was asking about stand-up. And he's like, you should do a guest set for me next weekend. And I was like, I've never done stand-up. He's like, dude, you'll be fine. Just do it.
Yeah.
And he wrote some jokes. Like, yeah, I wrote a couple jokes. I was like, okay. Did 5 minutes. I got invited in back the next week to do a guest set. And then just went at it. Just, like, didn't stop. I was like, I like this.
Yeah, you can't stop once you start.
I like getting the attention.
Yeah. I'm glad your asterisk was not like, I started, and then I took some time off to write. It's like, that just means you quit.
Well, you know, and when you talk to some people, you're like, you know, I've been in L.A. for a month, and it's like, you know, I go up and do well at, you know, a club, and they're like, how long have you been doing stand-up? 5 years. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I moved here 11 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, well, dude, I've been really in front of people making them laugh for about 13, 14 years.
The other thing, though, is it's a lot – you're much better off starting anywhere but L.A. or New York.
100%
agree.
If anyone out there
listening, they know that anyway. Hopefully.
There's guys, you know, I do well in Pittsburgh and whatever. I won Best Comic in Pittsburgh Magazine.
Oh, congratulations.
Twice. It's so funny, you know, speaking of Jimmy Crenn, Jimmy, I was working with Jimmy on a couple things, and I go, Jimmy, I won Best Comedian. Like, I was messing with him.
It's probably called the Jim Crenn Award, right?
Well, exactly. You're stepping on my punchline.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
well, no.
Carson.
I kind of elbow Jimmy, like, hey, I'm Best Comedian this year for Pittsburgh Magazine. And he was like, oh, I won that 13 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Okay, so where's your shoes and I will shine them? You know, like, but no, like, young guys will always be like, you know, they'll do open mics in Pittsburgh
it's
for
like
6 months.
Only 13. He must have been. He was robbed the other 7 years.
No, he was on vacation. That's what happened.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah. I didn't. You guys had the award ceremony?
Super. Yeah. But no, like, young guys, you're right. Young guys will be like, you know, do open mic for 6 months a year. And they'll be like, I'm moving to New York. I'm moving to Austin. I'm moving to LA. And I'm like, you know, my goal was, look, I have a family. I'm here. I have a mortgage in Pittsburgh. And what do I need to do to be the best I can here? And that I always say that you need to be a big fish in a small pond first.
Yes.
And you got to reach a ceiling in your town. You should. That's your goal.
That was what I – exactly. I mean, that's what I did in San Francisco.
You have to.
The thing is, too, and then we'll get back to the little – we'll wrap it up with some hockey talk, is you have – I mean, I've gotten better since I've been here, but basically that's because I've been torn. I just torn Lisa.
Yeah, you get those reps in.
Because basically when you move to LA, you're never really going to change. I tell kids out there, like, you kind of have to be as good as you think you're going to be when you move here.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to get a lot better once you're here.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like,
I've been here a couple times. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, you're pretty much, that's what you're going to be. Yeah. You know, I mean, but all right, enough about comedy. Back to things that are very important. Well, it's good to get, I did a little chat up a little bit.
You know,
people are interested to hear where's all this knowledge coming from.
Yeah.
You've been a great guest. You're going to have to call in.
I will.
We have to call. We'll have to take your number down. I was going to anything I was going to. So, okay, one thing is, you know, rivalry weekend. Mm-hmm. Or rivalry Wednesday. Who are the Penguins' rivals, in your opinion?
Flyers.
Exactly. Good answer. This guy, you're. It's basically. Actually, I can take a couple weeks off. You can just sit
Flyers.
Here and do the show. I can take a couple weeks.
I mean, some people would mention a couple other teams, I guess. But, like, really, it's the Flyers.
Yeah.
And the Steelers have a couple people, you know, you think, like, oh, the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens. But really, it's just the Flyers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and not living.
They're the only ones that show up and are douchebags.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, like, that's.
Even Capitals, people say the Capitals. And I'm like, why? Because of Ovechkin? Like, okay.
Yeah. But, like, sure, we've only lost to them. We've played them in the playoffs, I think, 11 times. And we've only lost once.
Yeah,
to the Capitals.
Yeah, I don't care about the Capitals.
Yeah, but people always want to hear, oh, this team's your rival. Like, no, there's only one rival.
Yeah,
and that's the Flyers.
When Wednesday hockey night, it'd be like the rivals, the Penguins versus the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right?
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Tampa has a team?
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know what I mean.
No, 100%. No, it's like there's only. I mean, to me, it's like here's the best hockey season is the Penguins win the Cup. Right after that is the Flyers don't win the Cup. Like, like that's all that really matters.
Oh yeah, it's exciting when they get eliminated or get like just. You know, lose right. by 8 goals. I love it.
Yeah, and then after that, you know, I'd have to probably put the Rangers because Adam Graves slashing Lemieux.
Oh,
you know, yeah. that's close to my heart because
that's an old school rivalry.
Yeah, it's an old Patrick Division one.
So, yeah, it is. Yeah,
like, I mean, in all the teams in the Patrick, you got the Devils there, and my grandma used to hate the Devils. All the Devils.
Yeah, I
don't know if that was like an Italian thing that they shouldn't be named the Devils but I don't put them higher. To me, it goes to Flyers. And then the Rangers, and then the Devils would be
around my number two now that you mention it.
I mean, just for irritation. I mean, you talk about all time. My grandfather, if he was alive, my grandfather was the biggest hockey fan in the world. That's how I became such a fan.
Nice.
And but he never even got to see Lemieux. Imagine that. I mean, he was a Hornet. He used to go to the old Gardens in Shadyside, like in the 20s.
Wow.
Watch hockey. But yeah, but he never saw Lemieux. But you know, like the Islanders heard him in 75. They heard him in 82.
Yeah.
93. I mean, my worst defeat.
Yeah, the Islanders were a big rivalry.
That would be... I mean, that would probably be number two if you really went historically.
In history, yeah, you're right.
Historically, but...
That kind of fizzled off in the 90s.
Yeah, and it doesn't really... I mean, I guess the bottom line is, they're really, like you answered correctly, there is no really rivalry except the Flyers.
Yeah.
There's none. There's
other teams that I like to watch them beat on, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the Flyers.
Who's your favorite Penguin of all time? Oh, you know, who's your favorite? I always like by natural birth, because to me, like
non Lemieux,
Lemieux and Jagr, like that doesn't. Really
I would have to say Ron Francis.
That's mine too. Look at this. We're like.
Yeah, I would definitely say
like,
Ron Francis.
This is like the stepbrothers here.
Yeah, did we just become best friends?
who's your favorite non Penguin?
Well, I've already mentioned Patrick Waugh.
As a goaltender. Skater.
Alexander Mogilny.
Oh, wow.
You know, I grew up, you know, I was born in 81, and I was, you know, about 9, 10
Sega.
Years old. Yeah, dude. I loved Mogilny. I don't know why. I got attached to the Sabres because of Dominic Hasek, and I loved him. He's probably my second favorite goalie of all time as a fan, you know. But he's also up there in the top 20, maybe even top 10. Hasek. But you know, I don't know why I attached to Mogilny, and I remember I collected cards a lot, and his 76 goals, him, you know, and Timu too.
Yeah, Timu.
I have a Timu Jets jersey that I wore to the Penguins Anaheim game and just did not stop giving high fives. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's great. Where that's like my Francis jersey. It's like a privilege in every arena.
But I guess it was that year when you know they both, you know, Timu and Mogilny got 76 goals. Did you know that?
Oh, Mogilny was tied that year with him.
Yes, they were tied.
But because Timu was a younger, he was a rookie. Is that why they make a bigger deal about that?
No, it was. I don't know. I can't. I'm digging deep.
The rookie record is definitely 76 with Timu,
and that might tied be the with Mogilny.
Oh, okay,
it is tied with Mogilny. They both got 76 goals.
Could be stump Bartnik every now and then, but once every 3 weeks, Anthony, they stump Bartnik. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up, but
Yeah, I mean, I remember having week, I had the card. Oh, okay. I remember having the card and everything. And so I attached to those guys, and I guess I liked Mulgioni a little bit better because he was with the Sabres and Hasek and later on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like Timo, and I really loved Pavel Bure.
The Russian rock.
Yeah, I really attached to a lot of Russian scores.
You know what's funny is I feel the same way. My personal favorite besides any Penguin is a Fedorov.
Yeah, I always disliked the Red Wings. I guess growing up, I'm like, ooh, that's the Red Wings. They're evil. Like, I just never.
I always liked. Oh, this is old school. Was my old roommate would always be the Blackhawks in Sega Hockey. I would always have to be the road because none of us could take the Penguins because that was so he would beat me for like a year. I actually wrote on the calendar the night I won. So I was Fedorov. So that's like
NHL 93 is the best hockey game ever.
Man. Yeah. And I think that's why there's so many young kids are hockey fans because of it played on TV.
So good.
Oh, and our esteemed producer, Anthony Johnny Bench, knows hockey from playing it on video games.
So good, dude. That's so good.
All right, we got to wrap this up quick. Besides, who's coming out of the West to play our Pittsburgh Penguins in the you have no idea.
I don't remember. They just played a Western tour. I went to the Kings game. They played in Anaheim and Phoenix.
The Kings game was awesome, wasn't it?
Were you there?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you did tell me you were there. It was awesome. It was wonderful.
Yeah, they scored right in front of us like three times in the first 2 minutes.
I mean, they're only really doing like Chicago. When are they coming out again? In March they're coming. They're at San Jose.
You're
going
to be in town for a while then.
No, I'm going home this week. I've been here for a month.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, come back.
I am. No, I plan on it.
No,
yeah, I'm going to be back.
I don't mean in LA.
We'll see.
Oh, come on. We'll see. We're validating your parking. Damn it.
It's a deal. No, I love talking hockey, man. It's one of those things that kind of when you're doing when you're focused so much on entertainment and comedy and acting, it's one of those things that you can go back to and be like, this is just me as a 10-year-old watching hockey, you know?
Right. Well, Aaron Kleiber, you've been a fantastic guest. It completely helps that you are a diehard Penguin fan like myself.
Thank you, sir. Right?
Yeah. No,
it's fun, right?
I've bit my tongue for a good 17 weeks here now. Like if I'm just going to let it fly a little bit.
I love talking
Penguin hockey and everyone back home listening. Where are you going to be? What's your next gig you can plug or anything
boom,
you want to?
Boom, boom, boom.
It comes out on Friday.
This comes out on Friday. Yeah. Well, I'll be back home. I'm doing some fundraiser shows. And then the first week of March in Pittsburgh, I will be with my friend Bert Kreischer at the Pittsburgh Improv.
Well, there you go. Look at that. That'd be fantastic. Bert is fantastically funny.
I have a good time with him.
That's a great show. Yeah. Next week, we will have our captain, Frazier Smith, will be back in the control booth. This comes out Friday. Well, I'll plug my stuff next week. We're actually starting a tour of the Monday Morning Podcast, all Bill Burr's openers. I'm one of them. Me and Jason Lawhead and Paul Verzi will be out touring America coming up in the spring.
Nice.
So give us a look up. I'm Joe Bartnick. Thank you for listening, and let's enjoy some Olympic hockey.